Welcome back to the next episode of the Gladcast Basketball Podcast. We are joined today by Gladiators big Patrick Tappy. Patrick, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
So you're into your first season in the BBL. How have you found the league so far?
Yeah, I find it really cool. I mean, honestly, I think I was really intrigued by the parity of the league. Like on any given night, I feel like any team can be any other team, as has been proven for us. And of course, I think London is still in being, but the talent in the league is great. I think that got a lot of up and coming players. And the fans also are pretty cool too. They get pretty rowdy, which I like and I appreciate. So yeah, it's been great so far.
Yeah, British basketball fans are pretty passionate. For not being obviously a mainstream sport here, the fans can be pretty passionate. So I suppose that kind of hopefully helps on the court as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. Definitely translates.
So let's go back to the start of your basketball journey, Patrick. So how did you get into the sport?
Just growing up in North Carolina, which is called the hoop state in the States. It's like you got famous players like Michael Jordan, Smart State, like Steph Curry, of course, and Chris Paul, these different players. So just kind of growing up in that environment, everyone's always like talking about basketball, watching basketball. You got Duke and Carolina in the state. So just kind of something that I grew up just being a part of. And then as I got older, just started playing on different teams and in the neighborhood as well. So it's kind of like my initial introduction to basketball.
Did you play any other sports growing up?
Yeah, the first sport that I played was soccer. My dad's from Cote d'Ivoire, West Africa, so soccer's pretty big there, and he was a soccer player himself, so he kind of put me into soccer, and I was pretty good actually. I was like a striker, and I was really good with my head. But yeah, eventually when I was like 12 or 13, my dad kind of told me to focus on basketball instead.
And you've mentioned your dad there a few times. Is he one of the kind of biggest influences in your life, or who else kind of influenced you to get into basketball? And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I say he's always like taking me to practices and games and, encouraging me over the course of my career. And of course, my other family, my sisters and mom as well. But I think he was the main role from a family perspective. I think that high school coach and middle school coaches as well, they're really big on my development and saw potential in me and were always willing to just give me extra help if I needed it. So I see those the three main influences in my life. Yeah, basketball.
That's brilliant. So obviously when you get to high school, did you go to Queens Grant?
Yeah, Queens Grant High School.
I do my research for these things. It's not just a ask silly question. Brilliant. But for people like myself, how would you describe the level of high school basketball in America and like how it kind of helps shape athletes to get like college scholarships?
I guess it's kind of changed recently. I mean, of course, high school basketball, there's depending on what school you go to, like there's obviously the public school league, which was the league that I was in. That's more of like it's still pretty good in a big city like Charlotte, but the private school is usually where teams can really like recruit players and give them scholarships and everything. So those teams are really competitive and very well, I think very good. The place that I got the most attention though is more so like AAU basketball. So it's like travel teams, these coaches will find players to team up and travel across the country playing other, quote unquote, like elite players. And kind of see like where you stack up, among like different competition at your age. How it kind of translates to the next level. That's kind of almost like the formative years. I feel in high school, you kind of gauge like where your potential is, like, how you stack up against competition, like I was saying. And also you still learn like fundamentals as well, more so. So yeah, so that's the gist of high school basketball in the States.
Yeah, so obviously after you went to high school, you went off to play at Columbia for a couple of years. So we obviously spoke previously when you first signed for the club about your college career, and then before you had your year in Duke and before you had kind of had your kind of brilliant final year at San Francisco. But can you explain to the listeners how tough is Ivy League level? Because obviously we speak of Ivy League here and you're like, oh, it's the good schooling, but how tough a level is it for basketball?
Yeah, it's actually funny. I mean, when I guess like the coaches, or sorry, the people like back home were asking like what level the BBL is. Like, I say it's obviously a little higher than the Ivy League, but it kind of is similar. I think it's a lot of like high IQ level basketball. So obviously, you know, the kids are pretty smart. So kind of translates to the basketball realm as well. It's of course, like, there's still like great athletes and stuff, but it's definitely more IQ based. Like, teams will have a lot of scouting. You know, plays are predicated on very, like, you know, I said, pretty advanced sets and stuff like that. So, but no, the level's pretty good as well. I mean, I think, yeah, the Ivy League always is downplayed. It's just like a nerdy conference or whatnot, but definitely there's some good players. I mean, we had a few NBA players come out of the conference recently, of course, Jeremy Lin being the big one, but Mie Oni, who was playing at Yale when I was in the league as well. A couple of other prospects who didn't pan out, but obviously like great players.
Yeah, and I suppose for people in the UK, and the Ivy League got a lot of kind of recognition for that time that Jeremy Lin kind of, or Linsanity exploded. And I suppose that whole era of basketball must have been pretty cool in terms of what Jeremy Lin was doing coming from kind of an Ivy League background. But how does the Ivy League then compare to the, I would say, the big league of ACC?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously that's a big step up. It's a totally different, you know, level of athleticism. Players are bigger, stronger, faster. You know, and I'd say, I mean, skill-wise, I don't know, that's where it probably is even. I mean, there's pretty good, you know, skill, like obviously great shooters and passers and dribblers in the Ivy League as well. But yeah, obviously the ACC is a higher level of competition. And then compared to, yeah, like the WCC, the Western Coast Conference, or West Coast Conference that I played in at the USF, it's kind of like in between, you know. It's not, probably not as big and as athletic besides Gonzaga, of course. But, yeah, it's like kind of somewhere in between the ACC and Ivy League level.
Yeah. So, obviously, you had your kind of time at Duke, and that kind of had its struggles and setbacks. How did you kind of deal with that kind of adversity of kind of coming to that decision of then transferring?
Yeah, I mean, that was a tough decision because, like, during, I mean, what part of the reasons that I came to, or part of the reason that I came to Duke, was to, like, to come back home and play in front of my family.
Of course.
But, you know, fortunately, due to COVID, we had no fans at the game. So I kind of ruined that from that perspective. And the next year, I was thinking, you know, it would be possible to have, you know, my family at games and stuff and possibly have an opportunity to play more or whatnot. But, I think in the end, I just kind of just felt like I just needed a change. Obviously, like, I was familiar with the coaching staff at USF, and I've always, you know, I mean, and a big part of it too was, honestly, I wanted to be in California. I wanted to be in a great city like USF, or sorry, San Francisco. So that's kind of like the main reasons why I made the change.
Yeah, so you obviously took advantage of that kind of final year eligibility as well. Did you just find it a great fit to kind of end your extra year being in USF?
Yeah, I mean, that was probably my favorite year of college. I mean, our team was pretty good. We went to the NCAA tournament. We had a lot of older players in the team. I think our whole starting five were like fifth years, or I was the one sixth year. But yeah, and it was a great environment. I mean, our coach was like, they had like a younger coaching staff. She kind of related it to us more. He was a great guy, you know, really passionate. And yeah, it was just a good experience overall. And I love the city as well. So it was a great time.
And I suppose, obviously being from Charlotte, I suppose if you've had such a good time at that part of the world, I'm guessing you've made loads of friends, loads of kind of companions or relationships with people that you can go back anytime. And yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I'm trying to figure out time. I mean, I know the season's pretty long and everything and after the season, but trying to figure out times for after the season to go back and see all my friends. I still keep in touch with, you know, some of my teammates and some people in the area. So, yeah.
Have some of your teammates from last season turned pro? If you said they were fifth or sixth year, where have they ended up?
So, yeah, my teammate, Gabe Stefanini, played with me at Columbia as well. He's in the Italian First League, plays for a team called Reggio Emilia. So it's like his rookie season out there. I think they're playing in the Euro Cup or Champions League, maybe, or one of the two, but he's liking it so far. Actually, Khalil Shabazz, the other two guard, he actually reclassed at USF. He's going to be the sixth year there this year.
Nice.
My other teammate, Jan Masalski, I actually haven't kept up too much with him, but I know he had an injury. I think he's still kind of rehabbing for that. Probably need to ask him what's going on. I don't think he's found a team yet. But you know, wishing the best for his recovery. And then Jamari Bouye, he signed with the Heat. He signed an Exhibit 10 deal. He's playing in the summer league for them, did pretty well. So I think now he's kind of trying to make the roster, kind of in between like a G League and like main team players. So yeah, that's where everyone's at right now.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So, playing with any kind of the kind of three skill programs that you did, how did you find playing under every different coach, and like what did you learn from kind of each of them?
Yeah, so yeah, every program was very different. Columbia, I think, like from a life perspective, just like learning to balance, like, you know, obviously that was the hardest school to balance basketball and academics. So just learning to be, you know, time management, stay on top of your, you know, your business, be responsible. And then at Duke, I think the main thing that I learned from Coach K was like kind of just that like you need to be kind of like hold yourself accountable all the time, like always have to be was ready at any moment. So he would just throw you in like random times in the game you wouldn't expect to be playing, and he just would just do just like random stuff. So I think just having that always ready mentality. And then at USF, I'd say the biggest thing that I learned there was that was probably just like, I mean, I guess we had a great team, but like how to win, honestly. I think that we all had like a good culture there. The coach provided a good winning culture. So you know, just knowing how to get along with teammates and you know, how to facilitate interactions, you know, on and off the court.
So obviously leaving college, you enter kind of the summer of wanting to try and make it as a professional. Like, how does that for a rookie pro like yourself? How does a summer start planning? And like, well, yeah, what do you try and get into? Do you try and get into, and obviously with an agency, do you try and hit up camps? So you're just trying to get loads of videos of yourself, or like, how do you get yourself out there?
Yeah, for me, I mean, fortunately, I had a lot of agents contact me over, you know, social media, Instagram, or you know, WhatsApp. They got my number, or, like different platforms that way. I think also, yeah, I was originally gonna, you know, put out a film of myself, like get a clip together and put it on YouTube or something. But honestly, like pretty quickly, I found an agent. My agent Luca Mascarin, Italian guy, is really cool. So. And then, you know, I signed pretty early with the Rocks. I think I signed in June. I think you know, most of my teammates or friends weren't signed at all, and they're kind of like cautioning me that it was a little early. But you know, I felt comfortable with it, and yeah, so just followed through with it.
Brilliant. So since obviously being announced as the first signing for what then was the Rocks, now the Gladiators, you've also been involved with the Ivory Coast or Côte d'Ivoire, as you as it's pro it should be called, national team. How did that kind of come around? And yeah, how proud of excited were you to kind of make your debut during the summer?
Yeah, so that too came around through an interaction off Instagram. You know, the general manager of the team kind of kept a relationship with me. I guess he knew he's I guess figured out from my last name that I was Ivorian or that of Ivorian descent, and we just kept the conversation about, you know, he was following my college career. And then actually it was crazy, I actually went out there after my season at USF. I played in the professional league in Ivory Coast for about a month. And so I was working out with, I was playing for his team. So, you know, we saw each other every day, and he kind of saw my ability and potential and offered me a spot on the national team, or sorry, the training camp. And then, which was in Tunisia. So I went there and then, you know, competed for a spot, you know, what like won a spot on the team. And then, yeah, it was an incredible feeling, honestly, just like being in Ivory Coast and even just like, you know, just the excitement from the fans and like and the people around, you know, they were super excited for us. Everyone was cheering us on, a lot of energy, you know, passionate fans. And even just being able to put that jersey on and seeing my dad in the crowd, like representing his
Yeah, that
country
was my
is.
next question. Did your family get out, be able to watch you?
Yeah, he came to all three games in Ivory Coast, and it was just an incredible feeling, honestly. I never felt probably his most proud moment in my life.
How does the I and it may be the ignorance of European, but obviously in Europe we've had Eurobasket this year, but what's the level of international basketball in Africa? Because we obviously see you've got quite a lot of African-born players or African eligible players playing in the BBL as well. We saw Wang play really well for Surrey. He's is he South Sudanese?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you, and it's great seeing other basketball cultures, but how does the level, or what kind of game, how's the game played in Africa maybe compared to different parts of the world?
Yeah. So, I mean, the one thing upon playing that I noticed is very different is obviously, you know, basketball is, I mean, it might be I think it's the third most popular sport in Africa, or in Africa, sorry. It's even, I mean, of course, football or soccer, football, as you guys call it, is, you know, primarily the main sport that is played, you know, basically around the world, but in Africa as well. And then actually second in Ivory Coast was Taekwondo, which is kind of crazy, like seeing that.
That's cool.
Bigger, yeah, it was cool, bigger than basketball. But yeah, the hardest part, I think, is just facilities. There might only be like two or three, like, you know, real legit gyms in Abidjan, the capital of Ivory Coast. Mm. And across Africa, I think that's the main problem, is just finding facilities. You know, most of the teams practice outside, professional teams practice outside at night. It's like windy, you can't see the rims as
well.
Wow. And you know, it's just not the same from that level, but there's definitely
a bit different to NCAA.
Yeah, very different. But no, there's a lot of great talent there. I mean, it's a lot of athletic players. Players are still skilled, like they still, you know, work semi hard in their games, even though, like, you know, with their limited access and capabilities. But yeah, the game is definitely much more physical. that's one thing I noticed is that. Yeah, it's almost like a mix between American football and basketball. It's a lot of like head cracking. But yeah, no, it's, I like that in a sense. But yeah, I think it's the main difference is physicality. And yeah, I think it's much more about like penetration. You know, they're still kind of like, you know, most of the roar is all about shooting threes and shooting, but they're more about getting into the lane and mixing it up.
That's cool. And obviously, for our first recording, we had loads of issues trying to get a time because of, obviously, you were traveling back and forth from whether it was Africa to France to America. Like, how did you find all that traveling during the summer?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it, honestly. I think it was, you know, I'm one of those people who just sits at the side of the window of the plane and the whole time and just, you know, just examines like the landscape and whatnot. But no, I love seeing different places. Obviously, you know, being in a plane, I mean, I got used to being in the plane. I load up my movies and read books, and I'm pretty much, you know, occupied for the whole time. But no, I love traveling. I love seeing different parts of the world as much as possible.
So obviously, now in Glasgow, we are recording this just after the win at home against Leicester. How important do you feel this season is going to be to make sure we're winning games? Obviously, we want to win every game, but how important is it to win the home games?
Yeah, no, I think that's huge. I mean, every team always wants to have their home gym, you know, be a tough place for opponents to play. And you take it as a badge of pride to, you know, guard your home court. So I think as we've been shown, you know, we lost a game that we should have won to Cheshire on the road, that at any time, you know, things can happen on the road that you wouldn't expect. So at home.
Also had a chance against London until Sam Decker decided to play Decker ball for 2.5 minutes.
Oh yeah. Don't remind me, but it's always important just to, I know, even for the fans, we always want to put on a good show and have them leaving happy. So yeah, super important.
Yeah. And that's kind of a big game against Leicester and British Basketball Town, because it kind of puts Gladiators in the map of other teams of being like, this team that we're a good team and that actually we'll be in contention for down the close of the season. So it's, yeah, it was a brilliant win, and it was great to see kind of everyone contribute and hopefully enjoy beating other teams.
yeah, for sure.
So obviously being in Scotland now for basically 2 months, how are you finding life in and around Glasgow? And yeah, what have you been able to get up to? How have you got to explore the city and the surrounding areas?
No, I've honestly been loving it so far. I mean, I think one of the big things that I'm really, you know, every time I leave the house, it's like, it's just crazy. Like here in Airdrie, once we leave, I'll see, you know, cows and sheep, like, and these like beautiful, like rolling hills, which, you know, I love. And then you get to the city and you see beautiful architecture, you know, it looks like so ancient to me. Like in America, all our cities are like, you know, pretty standard, you know, brick in whatever, just regular buildings. But, you know, seeing all the detail here on the architecture is really impressive to me. And then even like, yeah, just like, I guess certain things I do around the city, like even the other, well, I guess this is kind of different, but I went to Edinburgh this past week. And I felt like I was an episode of Game of Thrones or something. It was just, it was pretty cool. But yeah, I think another thing too that's awesome is that all the museums are free here. So like, I went to Kelvin Grove the other day, and that like blew my mind. I could just walk in and just see all these beautiful paintings and sculptures. They had a cool exhibit up. So I'm loving it so far. I want to explore more. I try to find some more time and plan some stuff out. But yeah, it's been awesome so far.
Brilliant. That's what we always want to hear. You hear guys sometimes come over and they just play video games. They stay inside and but it's guys like yourself who get out there and experience a different culture and just enjoy it. You can tell how you've said that, like you were smiling, saying it was just cool seeing all this cool stuff. And I was speaking to Erin Jones on the WBBL side, and she was saying she just wants to see Highland cows.
Is that Highland cows?
Yeah.
Are they different than here?
They're way different.
I'm trying to figure out time to go to the Highlands. Just it's a little far. It's like an 8-hour drive, I think, or something.
Well,
like
that. You are where Glasgow is. As you say, you can get to Edinburgh an hour. You can get to the kind of coast in 45 minutes. Depends where you want to go in the Highlands. It can be up to 8 hours. But even going only 2 or 3 hours north, going up through like Loch Lomond, which is only an hour away, there's lots of cool things. Yeah.
I've heard about Loch Lomond. Gotta check that out for sure.
That's only an hour or so away. That's beautiful. So back to basketball. Back to basketball. What can we expect from Patrick for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think bringing max energy every night. You know, trying to mix it up on the offensive boards, create second chance opportunities. You know, kind of establish more presence on the low post, and then defensively. You know, just making plays, trying to get steals, blocks, being active. I think that's one thing I need to work on, is just being a little more active. And talk with Coach Murray, you know, Gareth, he's been saying that, you know, sometimes I kind of hesitate on, you know, going for the ball. And he's just saying that I can definitely be a player who can make plays, you know, in that way, just getting help side blocks and whatnot. So, but yeah, going forward, that's what I'm going to focus on for sure.
Brilliant. Patrick, I want to thank you again for joining me on the podcast. I hope you continue to have a great season, enjoying your time in Scotland, and yeah, all the best.
Appreciate you, Grant. Thanks again.